That's the sound of hundreds of thousands of protesters in the streets of Alexandria this evening, provided to us by Al Jazeera English. And Al Jazeera is reporting that more than 1 million people have been demonstrating in Cairo's Tahrir Square. Protesters are in open defiance of a government curfew. And joining us now from Cairo for an update on these protests, which are the largest we have seen so far in Egypt, is New York Times correspondent Karim Fahim. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. You've been covering the story from the beginning. Have you seen a change in momentum in the protesters? Are they gaining confidence?
I think they are gaining confidence. I think that's exactly right. Both in terms of the size of the crowd, and the sort of diversity of expression and the exuberance. The crowds were huge in Tahrir Square in central Cairo today, and we really saw sort of all kinds of people. The demonstrations have moved beyond the activist crowds that started last week, and now they involve sort of families and people coming from all over Egypt. So there were really remarkable scenes today in Cairo.
Are they drawing people with a wide range of concerns? At the beginning, it was mostly about the economy, unemployment for the young. More recently, we've been hearing this morning there was an NPR report in which somebody said, why doesn't Mubarak leave? Can't he hear us? Should we speak to him in Hebrew? Which would suggest that there are some people who are angry with him mostly because of his relations with Israel.
Right. The protests have become much more creative, certainly. And I think though what still unifies the protesters, at least in Tahrir Square, is this broad. There's a litany of grievances, and it's this broad opposition to his rule, and so the complaints still range from, people not having jobs, not being able to get married, and people fed up with not being able to participate in Egypt's political life. And so it might be the case that the range of complaints is broader now than it was, but that might only be because there are so many more people out in the streets making their voices heard.
And it was announced that force would not be used against the protesters. CNN reported earlier today that Egypt's finance minister announced that people who missed work because of the protests will get unemployment aid. Last night, the newly appointed Vice President Omar Suleiman announced that the government would look at the concerns surrounding last year's parliamentary elections. So Mubarak must have okayed all of those things. But is he trying to give some kind of a piecemeal response to suggesting the government will adopt certain things?
The sort of range of responses is very hard to read or understand at this point. There are a number of new actors in the government, and it's not clear whether everybody is acting under the president's direction or some of the people under him at this point are trying to ease his path from power. So we're listening to all these announcements. I mean, certainly they came very quickly last night, as you said. I believe the first one was the military's announcement that they wouldn't use force against the protesters, which enabled this massive demonstration that we saw today.
And families.
And then, I'm sorry?
And for whole families to come out rather than just people who were ready to take a chance.
Absolutely, yes. We saw lots of children at the protests, lots of teenagers whose parents might not have let them go previously, and so it did change the complexion of the protest greatly. And then we're seeing these concessions from the government at the same time that there are sort of ongoing complaints about moves by the government. A new government was seated yesterday as well, and listening to the protesters today, they had complaints because the old government, the new government looked a lot like the old government. There were something like 14 cabinet ministers who came from the old government. So there are a lot of confusing signals at this point, and we're trying to sort through them, and the protesters are trying to sort through them. But I think the sort of important thing is that they're not they don't seem to be yielding on their primary demand, which is that he leave the country.
My guest is Karim Fahim of the New York Times, speaking to us from Cairo. This is WNYC 93.9 FM, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Last night there were said to be crowds of Mubarak supporters in the streets. Have there been any clashes?
When I left Tahrir Square late this afternoon, there was a pro-Mubarak demonstration, I guess a couple of miles away, and they the sort of two groups of protesters were separated by tanks in a large avenue. So I did not have any reports of any clashes. I don't know whether that's changed since I left, There were some of the anti-Mubarak demonstrators trying to infiltrate the pro-Mubarak demonstration, but the pro-Mubarak demonstration was much smaller. I think it was probably a few hundred people.
A lot of attention has been, in fact, all of the attention seems to have been focused on Cairo. Are similar things happening in other cities?
Yes, I mean, since this started last week, there have been the demonstrations have not been as large, but the cities are smaller. But there were large demonstrations in a number of Egyptian cities. I think in your intro that you said there was a large demonstration in Alexandria today, and there's been ongoing sort of activism in Alexandria, especially some of the protests in other cities, Suez, Beni Suef, other places. Turned into violent clashes, and we're still trying to learn more about what happened during those clashes.
Are there parts of the country that continue to support Mubarak, in the south, for example?
I don't know that that he has large reserves of support in certain parts of the country. I think he does have, I think there are people who are either fans or are probably afraid to see him go. I mean, there are certainly people that we've spoken to who are concerned about what comes afterwards, and that's sort of the big question now. And that's obviously assuming an afterwards. We don't have any real signs from him yet that he intends to leave.
Well, he's only spoken once publicly since the crisis began, and you have to ask yourself why.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, he has appeared on TV, and those appearances seem intended to convey a picture of control. I think one of the appearances, he was visiting a military operations center, viewing the preparations for the army's deployment in Cairo, and the other appearances have been as he greets his new government. So the picture is sort of business as usual, and the president is at the helm. But there is a lot of speculation about his intentions now, about what the people surrounding him are telling him, and how much control he has of the situation right now.
Well, there are reports.
These are.
Go ahead, finish.
No. Go ahead.
There are reports that he will be giving a speech on state television later tonight. We'll see if that actually happens. The American ambassador in Egypt met earlier today with Mohamed El Baradei. Could that be interpreted as a tacit endorsement?
It certainly seems that way. I mean, people saying that. That the U.S. government is working with the sort of triumvirate under Mubarak, including the prime minister and some of the military people, to ease this transition out now. But this is, it's pretty early yet, and we don't. I don't think we have this anywhere. We don't have this sort of officially yet, but those are the whispers at this point.
Well, does El Baradei enjoy popular support? He barely was a presence in Egypt until now, although he had a meeting with the new vice president, Omar Suleiman. So it's, I guess, the government is starting to consider him as somebody to be contended with.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right. I don't think he's. He has name recognition in the country. I don't think he has any sort of base of support yet. Although there is a large sort of activist community, especially in Cairo, that's enthusiastic about him. But I think he's an unknown quantity to a lot of people, and he has ended up speaking for the opposition for the moment, probably because he represents sort of a consensus figure, and maybe a figure who might be seen as more palatable to whatever outside powers are involved in these discussions at this point. Again, the opinions of Egyptians about him are very unclear. And I think, most of the protesters are taking sort of a wait-and-see attitude. He appeared in Tahrir Square to speak the other night, and it was the appearance was he wasn't able to speak to the crowd, and I don't know that I sensed a lot of disappointment. I think people were just sort of caught up in their own success with the protest movement, and they are willing to sort of weigh these candidates as they come along.
We've talked in the past about the contrasting images that were being presented by Al Jazeera when it was on the air and by government television. What's the situation today? Is Al Jazeera back on the air?
I don't believe it. Al Jazeera was back briefly on one of the other satellites here, and when I was speaking to protesters today, they said they had lost that signal. I have to be honest, I haven't checked since I've been back at the office. But we lost our Al Jazeera signal earlier in the week, or I guess over the weekend, and I have not been watching Al Jazeera, and have been watching a lot of state television.
What has that coverage been suggesting?
Well, it's been, there have been phases of the coverage, and I'm actually watching it as we speak now, and they have side-by-side images of the pro-Mubarak protests, and they have a wide shot of Tahrir Square. They've been playing the pro-Mubarak protests sort of over and over again, and so that's sort of the latest image. But over the weekend they spent a lot of time focused on the possibility of looting after the police withdrew from the streets of Cairo and other places. They focused on the escape of prisoners from a number of the prisons in Cairo and outside of Cairo, and the message seemed to be that there was chaos in the country, and the callers to various programs on state TV seemed to blame that chaos on the protesters, and so it seemed that the channel's sort of intent was to link the problems in the country to the protest movement.
And some of the protesters have suggested that the government actually allowed those things to happen to encourage people to think that maybe we do need some a powerful person like Mubarak getting things back under control.
Yes, they absolutely think that. I don't know whether it's true, but there are a lot of people who seem to think that that's the reason that the police suddenly disappeared.
The internet has been shut down in a bid by the government to slow the protesters. Isn't this the first time that any government has been able to simply turn off the internet? How were they able to do it?
Yeah, you know, we're still looking into how they were able to do it. There was one sort of internet provider that still had service for a while, and I understand that as of Monday, they stopped providing service as well. You know, I don't know how they were able to do it. I'm sure, you know, people are digging into that who know much more about these things than I do. But I think there was an interesting effect of it, though. I met several of the sort of internet generation activists in Tahrir Square today, and they said that, you know, once they had to leave their computers alone, once they were off Facebook, once they were off Twitter, you know, there was nothing to do but go to the streets, and that's what they did. And they sort of credit the decision to cut off the internet with enlarging the size of the crowds. You know, whether that's true or not, it sort of sounds good.
Jordan's King Abdullah II fired his entire government, and Al Jazeera is reporting that the Iranian government has issued a statement in support of the protesters. Isn't that a bit ironic?
It is. But I mean, you know, it's sort of a mark of how nervous these crowds make, you know, authoritarian governments all over the region. You know, we saw this with Tunisia. I was in Tunisia before I came here, and the similarities, you know, both in the evolution of the uprisings and the reactions of governments sort of surrounding these countries has been pretty remarkable.
Well, we're seeing more banners and signs in English, which I assume is a sign that the protesters are aware that the world is watching.
Yes, absolutely. And I saw, I saw Brian Williams today in Tahrir Square, and it was the first time I had heard the chants translated into English. And they don't sound as good in English, but they are, you know, keenly aware that the world is watching, and they are very interested in influencing the outcome of any negotiations that are going on regarding their futures and their government. And so, you know, there are many sort of lectures and, you know, delivered to visiting journalists about the role that the United States might play in influencing the government here. People are very anxious about that, and they're very anxious about the idea that the U.S. has more influence than they do in picking a new government.
I did hear one chant on a news program that went, ha, ha, ho, ho, Mubarak has to go. So that was done in English. Reminded me of the Vietnam demonstrations. Thank you so much for talking with us, Karim. Karim Fahim is the New York Times correspondent in Egypt, and we've been speaking to him from his office in Cairo. Be careful.
Thanks for having me.